Hello everyone, this is Amelia Rose and you are listening to the Everything Goes podcast. Every week we bring you episodes on topics from A to Z, and you can find us on all the major social media platforms. Why don't you join us and let us know how we are doing? Would appreciate that. Now, over the last year or so, you must have heard the phrase fighting for the soul of America. But what does that really mean? Who is doing the fighting and what are they fighting for? Today, I'd like to explore the concept of fighting for a soul in this week's episode entitled America at Risk of Losing Its Soul. The phrase "the soul of America" gained prominence probably in 2018 after well-known historian and presidential biographer John Meacham published his bestseller. The publication of the same name, The Soul of America, A Battle for Our Better Angels. And if you recall, a year later, Joe Biden made the phrase a household name for his campaign, which culminated in the November 2020 election. But as much as I would like to give both men credit for this phrase, those who have been in the fight will tell you that the concept of fighting for the soul of America is as old as America. In Mr. Meacham's publication, he offered insights in this country's current political and historical moments. And he did so by examining its past. He takes the reader back into important historical events such as the women's suffrage movement, the incarceration of Japanese American during World War II, McCarthyism, and the struggle to pass civil rights legislation in the 1960s. He was also careful to point out that the forces of hatred and division were simply recurring themes in the American way of life. Notwithstanding all of that, though, Mr. Meacham seemed to have this unwavering hope against hope that the lessons of the past will bring this nation closer to achieving its democratic ideals. I really look forward to that. And to be honest, I'm impressed by Mr. Meacham's confidence in America's ability to survive. And when we think of all the latest anti-democratic and racist attacks on our people, and for that matter, on our system of government, pardon those of us who are fearful that the ideals of which he speaks may not survive. The reality is that many of us have only read about the events Mr. Meacham wrote about. We have never experienced them. We haven't come close to seeing anything like some of these events. So you can see why our fears are justified. And if the past was not painful and scary enough, the recent events of January 6, 2021 paints a vivid picture for those of us looking on today. We saw the uprisings of hate groups. We are seeing the legal maneuvering to suppress voting rights. We are seeing some of our own elected officials displaying anti-democratic leanings. And not to mention the socio-political divide of our people. What is very striking to me is that Mr. Meacham's publication assures us that America has been down this road before and came back from the brink, and that we are certainly going to see this happen again. The question I ask of the powers that be, though, is, how many times must we go down this treacherous road before we change course? And how many people will we have to destroy before crying out, enough is enough? Now, friends, We're talking about fighting for the soul of America. And today, I am asking you to take a giant leap with me. Because I'm choosing to believe that like human beings, a nation or a country does have a soul. And I want you to believe that with me. I am also hoping that together we will figure out what that soul is. And then finally, I want us to walk away with an understanding as to whether or not the soul of America is worth fighting for. So, with that as a backdrop, let's take a little detour into a philosophical, religious pathway, and let us examine the concept of the soul to see if we can find answers to some of our questions. In ancient times, and for the most part, the concept of soul was unique to human beings, and later we saw that being extended to include all living things. The Greeks, on one hand, believed that the soul is something that a human being risks in battle and loses in death. And in the same token, they also believe it is what departs from the person and travels to the underworld at the time of death. In Jewish thought, the soul is said to be the self, the I that inhabits the body and acts through it. In Christian theology, St. Augustine spoke of the soul as a rider on the body, the soul representing the true person. Now, in the Middle Ages, St. Thomas Aquinas agreed with some of the Greek philosophers' concept of the soul and saw it as a motivating principle of the body. However, when it comes to the idea that a nation has a soul, it was Plato who actually gave credence to a nation having a soul. And what he said is that the state, or in our case, the nation, is infused with a soul that resembles the soul of an individual. And in each of us are principles and habits that we as individuals pass on to the state. He named these principles as reason, will, and appetite. Now, Plato continues that a healthy state resembles a healthy individual. For in such a state, the leader, he says, leads by reason and is wise. He also said that the leader is knowledgeable and prudent in statescraft, and makes decisions promoting the welfare of its citizens. He went on to say that the citizens are temperate and they exercise rational self-control over destructive impulses, such as ones motivated by hatred and blind rage. He goes on to mention the military and police, and he says they represent the will and are in turn courageous. This includes exercising force to the extent necessary, but no more than is necessary. After reading these statements penned by Plato about 2,400 years ago, I wondered if he had America in mind. Because for me, he has certainly clarified what I believe is the root cause of all ills in this nation and in all nations, if you ask me, that is its people. Now, let's take two of the primary assertions Plato made and see what conclusions we can make based on the current happenings in America. Number one, the first assertion here is people are the ones who actually reflect and bear on what a nation looks like. So what he's actually saying is the state is infused with a soul that resembles that of an individual. And in each individual, there are principles and habits that they pass on to the state. Now, if you stop and think about that for a moment, you see simply that a nation is a reflection of its people. And it's mirroring what or who its people are. So if you have been following politics over the years, you would have heard it said, so goes a particular state like Maine, Ohio, New Hampshire, California, and we can now add Georgia. So goes any of those states, so goes the nation. Now, we can all understand what was meant by this phrase. And the simplest way for me to break this down further is to say that it is the mindset, the behaviors, and the appetite of a people that determines what a nation will look like. So, the atmosphere in our country today is simply a manifestation of where the people are. Now let's move to the second assertion that Plato made. He said that a healthy state resembles a healthy individual. And he goes on to say, in such a state, the leader leads by reason and is wise. This means that that same leader is knowledgeable and prudent in statecraft. And as we mentioned earlier, that that leader will promote the welfare of its citizens. Now, I just want us to go back over the last 4 years, at least in this country. And I want you to ask yourself the following questions. Or, better yet, I am asking the questions and I would like you to answer them for me. Would you say that in the last 4 years, this nation could be considered a healthy nation? Did we have a leader who led by reason or could be considered wise or knowledgeable or prudent in statecraft? Did we have an administration that made decisions that promoted the welfare of all its citizens? By God, the answer to these questions is a resounding no, we did not. The citizens and leaders of a healthy state or nation do not turn against each other. They do not burn down buildings and loot. The soul of a healthy individual is not directed by racial hatred and the desire to do violence to those they deem different from them. They do not risk the health of their fellow citizens or themselves for that matter. Their elected officials do not draft laws to suppress the rights of one group of voter to benefit another. They do not criminalize peaceful protests or free speech rights. They do not curtail the right of women to manage their own health. They do not seek to undermine their own government or join with enemy countries to help them stay in power. They do not make unjust laws and policies to oppress and marginalize a generation of people because of the color of their skin. They do not refuse services that benefit the elderly and children while increasing the wealth of the already wealthy. You see, these behaviors are of people who have already lost their soul. They are incapable of being governed by rational constraints and empathy for the plight and right of others. Now, at this point of the discourse, we can draw a few conclusions about what we have heard so far. One, I believe you can agree with me that it appears America does have a soul. And two, we can safely assume that something is wrong with its soul. So here's the million-dollar question. What can we as a people do to restore that soul to a healthy place? And is it really worth fighting to do so? Now, a mindful teacher, Brandon Nappi, has a few ideas. Let's see if you agree with him. He says that as a people, we must agree to disagree without hatred. That we must acknowledge that we need each other to address the blind spots in our worldview. That we must engage in conversations around the common good and not special interest groups. He went on to say that there's a popular phrase that very few seem to want to learn, that we should love our neighbors and that we should forgive one another and admit when we have caused suffering. And then finally, he says, we need to reclaim the sacred duty of reflection and responsibility, which involves a time of soul searching in America, and I would add, a time of truth telling to heal our collective souls. But we must first ask, who do we want to be as a country? And that leads to a more fundamental question. Who do we want to be as citizens? The problem I find with Mr. Nappi's recommendation, howbeit well-intentioned, is that the idea of us moving forward in this, what some people are calling kumbaya moment, hasn't actually helped most of the people in this country. For one to have a healthier soul or a healthier nation, I believe it requires us to first determine what made us sick. In addition, we cannot have unity until each individual commit to consider the good of each other. We cannot mix oil and water. So we have to come to some meeting of the mind. And like the dolphin, when one human being is hurt, all the others must rally to remove that injured person out of the water so that it can breathe. Instead, we see instances where people are putting their knees on the necks of people to prevent them from breathing. Our collective wounds cannot be healed until we cut away that which causes decay and risk death to the whole body. America needs a period of truth-telling. And unless each person can admit to their role in the destruction of the soul of this nation, we will be right here again. And I am afraid John Meacham would win again. So that is my take on the soul of America and what we will need to do to help to bring it to a healthier place. And I want to thank you for listening. And do join the conversation on Facebook after this episode and share your thoughts about the soul of America. See you next time.